Today on Real Radio.
Can you imagine walking out there? What are you saying? Evacuate, fire. Well, and you want to get into a debate with them. You want to get into a talk. Well, let's talk about that. What do you as a fireman, how do you define the word fire? Nobody would do that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 17, in a section that conveys the account of the Messiah passing near a colony of lepers. The passage tells of how he reacted when these lepers asked for mercy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called, Say Thank You.
When the Bible says that he went through the area of Galilee and skirted or went through the midst or the border of Galilee and Samaria, he goes over this area, crosses the Jordan River, comes down this side, which is the Jordan, now the area of Jordan, the kingdom of Jordan today, and he's on the other side before he crosses back over onto the western side of the Jordan River Valley. Why would he do that? Why would he go so far out of the way to get to his appointment, by the way, in Jerusalem? Do you guys all know what I'm talking about? Jesus has got an appointment with a cross on a Friday in Jerusalem. But he goes out of the way. Why? Because he's got an appointment with 10 men. And these guys are something. We'll learn a little bit about them as we go through this. But God is at work. He has an appointment in their lives, just like he's got an appointment in your life. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that good news? God is with us. Why? Because he's so committed. He's made an appointment with you, and he's not going to break that appointment. Everything almost presses in against us to cancel, break, change appointments. Life is so up and down all the time. God never breaks his appointments, ever. What he has said to you, Christian, he will keep his word, never changing his word. This world is constantly changing, and the way it's changing, it's going down fast. But God is constant. He not only sets the appointments, secondly, look at this, he's revealing himself to us in the midst of these things. It says in verse 12, there then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. He is revealing himself, and God is revealing himself to 10 lepers. Now, these lepers are men who have already suffered the label as being sinners. But what you don't realize about lepers is that the lepers are not allowed to dwell within the city limits anymore. Imagine for a moment your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, they've got leprosy, and according to the laws that be, your child, your husband, your wife, your mom or dad, they're examined and they're found to be leprous. They are driven out of the city limits. They dwell now in leper colonies, leper camps. By the way, I think there's still one remaining leper colony in the United States, and that is on the island of Molokai in Hawaii. Last time I checked, there was just under 200 lepers living on that little craggy rock on that part of the island. They were banished. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. They're banished. They have been declared, according to Levitical law, chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Leviticus, unclean. You are contaminated. You are to take your belongings, whatever you can carry, and be one who dwells outside the city. You are unworthy to be among the congregation. You got to go. And they're driven. The great fear of of that person contaminating others. And so they're driven out. Sin does that to us, by the way. It drives us out, drives us away from families. Maybe it drives us away from a husband or a wife. Sin will do that. Maybe you've let it into your life. There's this sore that begins to fester in your life. Turns out to be cancerous, spiritually I'm speaking, leprous. And it drives you out of your home. And they dwell outside the camp. The Bible tells us. And what does Jesus do? Notice this. Be encouraged, every one of us. Jesus does not avoid this certain village. He targets it. Imagine, on the donkey, assuming he's riding a donkey, we'll make some assumptions. He's got a donkey right there between the ears of the donkey. He's got a GPS stuck to the donkey's head. And his Father, in heaven above, satellites down to Jesus a certain location and a certain village, because just outside that village and its city limits are 10 men in great need. Their situation is hopeless. There's no way out for them. They're as good as dead. In fact, it would be better to be dead. But God is revealing himself. Jesus reveals himself. And so he's moving towards a certain city, a village. There in Leviticus 13:1, the Bible says, God spoke to Moses and said, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot upon his skin, and that becomes infectious, he must bring himself to the priest, and the priest must examine the infection. And if the priest examines the infection upon the skin and it is found to be leprous, the chief priest is to pronounce him unclean, and the man is to be removed outside the city. What does Jesus do? He goes after them. A church is not a place for everybody who's got their act together. The world needs to hear this right now, right here. We are not a bunch of self-righteous, condescending sin sniffers and fault finders like we found out about last week. We're not those people. We are people who need the healing of Christ in our lives and the forgiveness of our sins. We've recognized, we're no different than anybody else, except in this, God has shown us our depravity. And we say, oh Lord, have mercy on us. And God awakens us to our need for him. We're like lepers today. You're either a cleansed leper, or you're still polluted. The Bible says Jesus died for all of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not only that, in verse 12 we learn this, that he's closing the gap. Note this, he's closing the gap on our lives. And he's doing that with these 10 guys. Look at verse 12, it says in the latter end, these men stood afar off. Did you know they were commanded to do that? Leviticus 13:46 said that concerning a leper, they are to dwell outside the city and they were to announce that they were unclean. When you were walking along and you were coming from one city to another city or one village to the next, and there were lepers in between those two towns, you know what they had to do? They were commanded, unclean. That sounds almost kind of sterile. Unclean. Today we would say filthy, rotten, contaminated, scumball, diseased, infected, plagued. Imagine, you had to announce it. And the picture of these people, according to historians, is that they looked like they were walking dead. Often wrapped, draped, many of them in a complete covering over their face. Because do you know what happens with leprosy? It begins with that irritation. The skin begins to turn colors, and it usually first attacks the extremities, the fingers, the noses, the ears, the feet. And it begins to be an irritant, then it begins to turn kind of reddish, then as the infection advances, it begins to turn gray, and then in the final stages, it begins to turn white. No more circulation. Nerve endings are dying. Skin begins to flake off because there's no more nutrients going to the skin. The skin begins to fall away, begins to smell very badly, by the way. And they would wrap themselves. They look like walking dead people, walking mummies. By the way, much probably like these 10. Why would they band together? Do you know what they did? At night, they would make sure they're wrapping each other up to cover up their skin completely like a cocoon. But the last guy who made sure everybody else was wrapped up, he couldn't wrap himself up so well, right? So he lays in the middle of the group. Why? So the rats at night could not get to him. The rats would come and eat away the tips of the ears, the tips of the noses, the fingers, the feet, and you would never feel a thing. A rat tugging on your finger, and you'd never know it because it's all dead, it's all numb. The infections would set in, eventually get into your blood system, you'd eventually die. It was a living death, a leper. Amazing, horrible thing. Isn't that a picture of sin today? You say, Jack, I don't know, what do you mean? Oh, maybe sin, the Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season. You all know that, we all know that. Hoo-hoo, she winked at me. Hoo, that feels good. Oh, look, he likes me. Or look, he's offering money. Or this, that, or the other. Oh, wow. And it's all pleasurable, the Bible says, for a season. Seasons change, my friend. Seasons change. And then the ravages of sin take over. And so at first, when you touch it, there's no sensation. It's okay. But if you keep touching it, it keeps advancing. And up the hand, to the elbow, up the arm, there's no more feeling until you're completely engulfed by it. And now it's consuming you. You may have played with it at first, but now it's eating you. And so you wrap yourself up to hide. You go to work and you're somebody else. You hang out with the ladies and you're somebody else. You go to school, you're somebody else. Than who you are at church or in your community or family. Sin will do that to us. And these guys were completely wrapped up in their sin, so to speak. But God closes the gap. The Bible says they stood afar off, but Jesus is coming near. Aren't you glad about that? Point number two this morning. On the count of three, say thank you. One, two, three. Thank you, and here's the reason why. God is aware. Will you write that down? The Lord is aware of you and I and our situation right now. The Lord's aware. We're sitting here right now. Are you able to hear the helicopters? Can you hear those blades? Yeah, you can. What's going on? There's fire, Jack. It's not far from the church. What's going on? Listen, God's aware. Is my house okay? What about all the cattle on the hills? What about those horses? Are they okay? I don't know, but God's aware. What about the world economy? Everything's coming apart. Russia, the finances that are going on there. England, the financial dilemma that England's going through. Asia, the financial dilemma. What's going on in the protests around the world regarding marriage? What is going on? I don't know, but God's aware. And you say, well, Jack, that's great for you that he's aware of all that big stuff, but what about what's going on in my mind and in my heart? Oh, my friend, our God is an awesome, awesome scientist. That's right. See, all those big things might as well be telescope matters. God gets his microscope and zooms right in on your life and mine, and he knows. I don't understand it. Why are things going a certain way in my life and in your life? I don't understand it. But he is aware. And that is an important thing for me to remember. Because look at verse 13. He knows all my needs. He knows your needs. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, send a doctor. Nope. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Why is that important? My friends, true or false, these 10 guys believed that they had been smitten by God. When they call out for mercy, notice they didn't ask him to heal him. Isn't that a fact? They didn't say, cleanse us, heal us, send help. What did they say? Have mercy on us. I think you've heard this story before. Napoleon, he had found out in a certain French village that there was a traitor in the village. And they found out who the traitor was. And they brought him out, and they were going to have his head cut off with the guillotine. He's a traitor, an enemy of France. And his mother, this young man's mother, threw herself on the boy's body and says, General Napoleon, Emperor Napoleon, Mercy, mercy for my son. And Napoleon said, get her out of the way and kill him now. He's a traitor to France. And she's screaming, mercy, mercy. And Napoleon said, don't you understand? He's committed treason against France and he must die. Justice demands he dies. And the mother paused and she said, General Napoleon, I didn't ask for justice. I'm asking you for mercy. Maybe justice yelled out and said to these 10 men, you're dead. Maybe justice says to you and I, you're dead. Maybe you're caught up in all kinds of bizarre sexual things, and maybe it's adultery or homosexuality or whatever, fill in the blank, and the world is saying, you're dead. And Jesus is saying, it ain't over till it's over. And Jesus is reaching out to every one of us right now, and he's offering this mercy. And these guys needed mercy. They wanted mercy, and they knew what they asked for. Thank God for these guys. We can learn a lot from them. They knew what they asked for. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. But look at this, verse 13. They lifted up their voices. I love it. Their leper lips. Their leper lips. And they cry out. And I love it. Do you think they care about what people think about them? Shh, come on, man. You're shouting a little too loud. I mean, keep it down, will you? Oh, no. They're loud. Jesus, Master! Have mercy on us! They're desperate. This morning, are you desperate for God? Amen. Are you hungry for him? He knows our needs. Secondly, look at this. He tells us what to do. It's best we obey him. He knows. Will you trust him enough? This morning in the early hours, you could hear the fire truck clicking its whatever its clicker button thing is. He wasn't turning on the sirens, but he was going, eh. And you could hear them in the distance speaking. Can you imagine walking out there? What are you saying? Evacuate, fire. Well, and you want to get into a debate with them. You want to get into a talk. Well, let's talk about that. What do you as a fireman, how do you define the word fire? Nobody would do that. Jesus is going to say something. And people stand around today, they're leprous white. They're contaminated with sin. And they go, now, what do you mean by that? Jesus, we're going to go to your Bible. We're going to look at it. We're going to redefine it. We're going to change it. We're going to tell you, God, what it means. You can play that game all you want. That doesn't change the existence that he is real and that his word is true. And life goes a lot better with him. And he says, verse 14, go show yourself to the priest. Stop right there. Amazing. The Bible says in the day of the leper's cleansing or healing, he's to go to the priest. You got 10 lepers. Jesus said, go to the priest. Are you with me, everyone? Are you awake? Yes. This makes no sense to me. You can study it. Go home. Look at it later. Read it. It makes no sense. These guys are full of leprosy, and Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. That doesn't make any sense to me. You ever have that situation going on in your life? When God says, trust me, and you give him 1,000 reasons why you should not trust him. And we lose every time. Have you ever debated with God and argued with God? Go ahead. But I'm telling you right now, he does not listen to our arguments. You know why it doesn't make any sense to me? Because these guys are still white with leprosy. They're still toxic. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Do you realize what kind of faith it takes? They're looking at their stinky, fallen off, nibbled fingers, ghost-like faces, wrapped up like in shrouds. And Jesus says, go, show yourself to the priest. And one of those 10 guys, or maybe all of them, church, if you don't get anything out of this message, get this. One of those guys said, let's go. They began to walk. They not only began to walk, according to the construction of this language, they walked away from Jesus towards the temple. We know also that 9 of them were Jewish and 1 of them was a Samaritan. You see, I thought Samaritans and Jews don't get along. They don't. One's a pure breed, one's a half breed. Samaritans are half breeds. Jews and Samaritans have no conversation with one another. Do you remember why when Jesus went to Jacob's well, who was there? A Samaritan woman. And she said, how is it that you being a Jew are talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Because she needed salvation. And so these guys are heading to the temple. Now, according to the Bible, they've been banned from going to temple. They can't go to temple. They can't be around people except other lepers. So they're on their way. But they could have said, excuse me, Jesus, we've heard about you. And all the ministry and the stuff that you've done, we've heard about you. And we even heard that you were coming our way. But you're asking us to go to the temple? Makes no sense. I'm asking you today, church, when you leave this building today, go make a difference in the world. How can I make a difference? Just like a leper possibly saying, how can I go to the temple? The temple's over there. It's right over there. Jesus said, go. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, oh God, please speak to me, Lord. Give me a word. Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want to know you, God. I want to have your direction in my life. Do you know what his direction is? Go. Go. And these guys get up and they go. And I'm wondering what's in their mind. What would have been in your mind? Are we going? Yeah, we're going. How are you feeling? I'm feeling the same way I've always felt. Oh, there went your finger. And all of a sudden, as they're going, because they could have had all kinds of arguments about, this is ridiculous. We are 10 lepers. We are 10 sinners. We are 10 failures on our way to church. Isn't church for all those holy people? No. Church is for the unholy people who want to know a holy God, who want to have a new life, who want to say to him, God, I'm sorry for my life. I'm sorry for my sin. Hey, have you seen the movie Fireproof? I'm sorry, I just found out about it recently. We just went on Friday night. That's an amazing movie. Everything changes when the man says, I'm sorry. And when we say, I'm sorry, God says, all right now. In their act of obedience to Christ, there's a lot going on emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in the hearts and lives of these people, and they're on their way. Look at verse 14. We know that the Lord is aware because he does what's best. It says, verse 14, and so it was, don't you love it? As they went, they were cleansed. Not healed, cleansed. In leprosy, you have to be cleansed before you're healed. Same thing is true for sin. You're not healed of sin. Brother, let me pray for you that God would heal you of this sin of... Oh, no, no, no. You're not healed of a sin of... You're cleansed from sin. Once you're cleansed from sin, you're healed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called... Say Thank You. It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 17, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, if you haven't logged on to realradioactive.org lately, we invite you to pay us a visit. You'll find our newly formatted website easy to navigate. Just point and click for podcasts, MP3s, recent broadcasts of Real Radio. We have resources, special offers, even local events in Southern California, our nation, and beyond that affect us all as believers. The new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.